Praise the Lord. How's everyone doing? Amen. I just want to thank the church. Thank brother coming to sing. Happy birthday to my dad. It's a blessing. It's an honor and a privilege to have a dad that loves Jesus. Amen. And that's preaching the Lord. I have a message today. I want to encourage you this morning. And I pray that it's not going to be too long. I don't believe it will be. And just ask God to reveal to you what he would have for you. Okay? And look with me in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7, please. Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. And before we read the verse, there's a couple things I would like to share with you, talk to you about. Have you ever heard, I know a lot of Hollywood stars, a lot of the world, a lot of famous people, rich people, positive thinkers, millionaires, they believe, preach, and teach. It's on Oprah, and there's a lot of truth to it, but it's almost like they make God as the universe is their God, and it's called the law of attraction. Have you ever heard of that? The law of attraction, and it's based upon many things that I'm not going to get into because there is some science to it and vibrations and waves and all this, but what they teach, and it's all on the internet, is that the energy you give out comes back to you. What goes around comes around, like a magnet. Birds of a feather flock together. There's truth to that. If you're, in Spanish we say rockero, but if you're like a rock star and a rock, rock and roll is your life, you're going to gravitate, and that energy that you give out, you're going to attract people like kindness or likeness, that like-mindedness. That's actually a law that's very true. And so what the world does, and these people, the great positive thinkers and millionaires, is what they do is that the law of attraction is the energy you put forth will attract. So if you put forth positive energy, positive things will come back to you in your life. If this is what they teach, and then I'm going to get into the scripture. If you live negative and just verb like hatred and bitterness, you show lack of mercy, lack of forgiveness, if that's what the energy that comes out of you daily, you're going to attract that into your life. And so the idea is that if you think positive and money and we could do it and you could do all these positive things. Though you might fall and mess up, eventually positive things, the things that you believe or portray out, is going to be attracted to you. Does that make sense? And I was thinking about that. I never heard of that, honestly, in the sense of the world sense, the law of attraction, the universe, everything's moving, so you can create things by saying it. I never heard of it that way, people that don't believe in God and the Bible. But then I start reading the scriptures and start thinking about, really, what is it? And it's actually a law of God. There's some truth to it. And look with me in Galatians chapter 6, verse 7. The Bible says, "Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap." And it's like your life is a ball. Each one of us have a ball, a tennis ball or a ball. And whatever you throw against the wall, the ball you throw against the wall bounces back to you. So what you put forth comes back to you. And it's called the law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. And Jesus spoke to the people all the time, not only in parables, but he used things like farming and planting and trees and fruit and dunging around. And the people, because, back 2,000 years ago, 6,000 years ago, their life was agriculture. Their life was animals and farming and food. They didn't have great supermarkets and all these things. So everyone knew how to survive, and they had a built crops. So Jesus many times uses terms of sowing and planting and the seed and the good ground and the hard ground and thorns and thistles and so the people can understand it. So sowing and reaping are farmer's terms. They're usually for agriculture, usually referring to seeds, planting, growing food, crops. The definition of sowing, we all know it, but I looked it up. It says plant seed by scattering it on or in the earth. Plant seeds so the seed will grow. No one sows not expecting something. If you sow a seed, you expect to receive something. If I'm going to plant tomato plants and you're all excited in your backyard, you want to see tomatoes, you expect the tomatoes to grow and you to use it. So you reap what you sow. So planting seeds is sowing. Sowing is going, is giving out something. And Jesus Christ, matter of fact, there was one time in the Bible, I believe in Matthew, that a man couldn't see. And Jesus healed his eyes, and then he said, I see men as trees walking. He's like, oh, you're in the spiritual realm right there. Oh, let me put you back in the three-dimensional realm. And he fixed his eyes. Oh, okay, now I see people. There's a lot of truth of that. A lot of times God says, we are, each one of us are like a tree, and we give off fruit and spiritual fruit, right? Good things and bad things. Now, reaping is receiving what you sowed or planted. Is that true? So reaping is receiving what you gave out, what you planted. If you plant cucumbers, you will receive cucumbers. And remember, you're not going to receive something that you didn't plant. So if you sow seeds of cucumbers or you want to plant cucumbers, you're not going to receive tomatoes. So you got to get that. So you reap, you receive what you sow, what you give. If you plant cucumbers, you're not going to receive tomatoes. Now, this is an actual promise of God. And matter of fact, it's not such a promise. God said, be not deceived. God is not mocked. So what you sow, you will reap. And a lot of times, I'll be honest with you, a lot of times I'll start reaping things, receiving things in my life that I sowed 15 years ago. And a lot of times we forget. We do certain things. We think, oh, we got away with it. Or we don't, out of sight, out of mind. And all of a sudden, these things are happening in my life. But a lot of times, things are happening in our life 15 years later of consequences or the seeds that we've sown 15 years in the past. So sometimes it's immediate. Sometimes we don't even receive what we deserve. God's so good and gracious. I mean, better than I deserve, you know? All of us deserve to die. We deserve nothing, if we're honest. So God's good to us no matter what, but there is a law of sowing and reaping. Sowing and reaping. It's a universal law. Now, the world even knows about it, and it's a secret. Did you know your words are like water? Your words are like water. And the seeds are your actions and words also. And you water things with your mouth. If you are a person that shows a lot of love to people, you're probably going to receive love. If you're a person that forgives people's debts and forgives people that offend you, people will probably forgive you. If you show kindness to a lot of strangers and people when you're in need, you'll probably receive kindness. You receive what you give. You will reap what you sow. The Bible says in Exodus 23:10, thou shalt sow thy land and gather in the fruits thereof. That's like our life. We sow in our life. We give out seeds, decisions we make, words we say, actions, thoughts, how we act. The Bible says in Isaiah 37:30, sow ye, and reap, plant vineyards, and eat the fruit thereof. So you eat the fruit. Your lot in life, a lot of times, now this is not all the time, I mean, a starving child in Africa that's eating bugs out of sand, he didn't choose that. He didn't do anything wrong to be there. That's just the lot in life. But a lot of times, so there are exceptions or rules that you can't control everything. And not everything that happens to you is because you did something wrong. Not everything negative that happens to you is because something wrong. But there is a universal law that most things that happen to us is because we're responsible for. And we don't really realize that the law of reaping and sowing. And you eat what you sow. If you're a farmer and you live on vegetables or you live on your crops because you're out somewhere and there's no supermarket and you have to live off the land, you literally eat the fruit that you put out. Is that true? Okay. Well, we do that. So what ye plant, ye will eat. What you sow in your life, you will eat or receive in your life. It's so true. And it's with anything in life. Let's say school. I wasn't a great student, I'll be honest with you. I was a knucklehead, and I don't know, many of you maybe were or weren't. I mean, parties and girls and sports. And honestly, I went to school because I had to. I had to study because I had to, but my heart wasn't into it. And we would make fun, you know, I guess, quote unquote, the cool kids, right? The cool kids, would, you know, they're cool. And all the rest of the kids, man, look at them. They're cool. You know, I want to be in the in crowd. But yet the quote unquote geeky kids were studying and not going to the parties. We're getting drunk and acting like sinners in the street, making a mess of our life, thinking we're awesome and cool. Yet the nerdy kids, quote unquote, trust me, now I know they're the cool kids. They're the real cool kids. They're obeying their parents. They're studying. And then we graduate and we're like struggling for jobs. And they're going for their master's degree. They got great. Now we look at them. They're driving their Mercedes Benz and living great. And I'm in my little Ford that's going, you know, I'm like, what's going on? You reap what you sow. It's the same thing in school. If you take studying serious, if you sow seeds of studying, you're going to reap benefits. Amen. And kids and young people that don't care now, think everything's a game, they're going to reap what they sow and realize life is hard. And when you had time to study and make something of your life, you wasted it in wild living and sinfulness, thinking it's great, but now you're struggling. Now you're on welfare, you're struggling, and you don't even know where the next paycheck's coming from. But the guys who studied and didn't party and didn't do drugs and didn't do those things, they're reaping the benefits in society. Is that a true fact? Always exceptions to the rule. I mean, you always hear people who care less about, they didn't even graduate high school and they're millionaires because they had great minds. So there's always exceptions to the rule, but the exception usually proves the rule. Young girls getting pregnant. It happens, especially in our society. I remember, you know, I'm 41. I graduated high school, Interboro High School in Prospect Park in 1995. And I remember there were a couple girls, three or four girls pregnant as juniors, sophomores, and seniors. And that was huge. Like, we were like, whoa. You know, she got pregnant. She's destroying her life, you know. And they'd go to school with their bellies, and they finally had to leave, and some couldn't graduate. Yeah, they get their GED. And they're so young and had babies. Now they're 30, 40, and they feel like they're 60, 70, 80. They live such a hard life, been home the rest of their life. They didn't experience a lot of freedom. So they think, man, I wish. And I'm going to say something. Bringing a child in the world when you're young, it could have been better. I thank God for the child that came into the world. And God can make mistakes into blessings. God can turn ashes into flowers and something beautiful. And that's God's mercy and grace. But to think about young girls who made these decisions and then suffer, not because the child did anything wrong, but yet just in life being so young and having so much responsibility so early, and it takes your youth away and your joy away and the fun and the experiencing life that you could a little bit more, and now you have all these responsibilities. You reap what you sow. Is that true? Am I speaking the truth? Okay. But in most cases, you receive things in your life that you have sowed. The Bible says in Hosea 10:12, sow to yourselves in righteousness, reap in mercy, for it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Galatians 6:8, just listen. For he that soweth, you're putting out seeds in your life, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. If you're living your life without God and in the flesh, and all of your decisions are selfishness, and all of your decisions are without the scripture and Bible and God, you're going to suffer. You're going to suffer. Who are you judging? I wish you don't suffer. A lot of times people think preachers want people. I don't want anyone to suffer. I want everyone to be saved, everyone to be blessed. But God said you reap what you sow. And a lot of people, they get mad. I can't believe this. Why has this happened in my life? They're reaping what they sowed. You know, why me? And why can't I pay the bills? And why don't I have a job? And you don't go back to, well, look how you lived your whole life. And now you're blaming God. Now you blame society. But you're actually reaping what you sowed. Did you know that you could actually cause things to happen? Sometimes they don't just happen out of bad luck. Sometimes you cause bad things to happen because of bad decisions. Sometimes we cause good things to happen because of good decisions. And that's a universal law. For it is time to seek the Lord till he come and rain righteousness upon you. Galatians 6:8, for he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption, but he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap everlasting life. Now, friends, I've heard this a lot of times. Let's say you have trouble of having real friends. Real friends are hard to find.
Yes, sir.
I want to be honest with you. I have hundreds of acquaintances. I have hundreds of buddies. Hey, yeah, high five, give a hug. But when I'm in need or I'm down or I'm in trouble, they're not going to be helping me and calling me.
Exactly.
They'll leave me, talk bad about me, and judge me.
Exactly.
So real friends are hard to find. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
A real friend. But maybe could it be because you're not a friend to others? You got to wonder this. Like, you know, I don't have friends. And a lot of young people are like that. I wish the young teenagers were here. Well, how come I can't make friends and friends? Well, the Bible says, he that is friendly shall have friends. If you have friends, it's because you're friendly. That's a universal law. And you know what a lot of people say? Well, I don't have real good friends in my life and people that are really with me. Well, and I'm a friendly person. I don't know what's wrong. Well, maybe what you think is friendliness is hurting and offending others. So in your mind, you think, I'm the friendliest guy around, but no one wants to be with you. You got to check yourself. You got to examine yourself. Do you want friends? Be friendly.
Amen.
Care about others.
Amen.
You can't be all about yourself and how come everyone's like this, but no. You can't do that. What about rejection? A lot of people give rejection. A lot of people reject others.
Sure.
You're going to be rejected. Did you notice hard, cold, bitter people complain that others are hard, cold, and bitter? You ever? Hard, bitter, cold people. Always, oh, there's all these hard, bitter people. You get it? Exactly. You have hard, bitter people in your life because maybe you're hard, bitter, and cold. Drinking. Drunkards. Man. They just... And they don't understand what's wrong in life. And why it doesn't work. What do you mean? You're a slave to alcohol. You drink. And you can give your reasons why or whatever. I'm just saying, you're going to suffer the consequences. And no one did it to you. No one did it to you. You did it to yourself. It's a cycle. Drugs. You got young kids that were shooting up dope and heroin, and there's a huge heroin epidemic in this area. I've never heard of any place. I mean, I've been a missionary 12 years. I've been to hundreds of churches, started 4 churches, been around the whole country, and I've never been to a part of the country where heroin is everywhere. I didn't even know. This is almost like the heroin capital, I think. Because somebody was telling me there's a heroin clinic that's like the center where people from all over the country come to in Phoenixville. Where's it at? Someone told me that. Yeah, heroin's huge here, guys. Well, think about it. Everyone knows someone that's on heroin, messed up on drugs. I mean, 1 out of 4? Now, what's going on, guys? First, it starts for whatever reason, you know? And they're shooting themselves up, and now they're living on the street, and now their kids are taken away. I mean, so many things are going on. You reap what you sow. You're making things happen in your life by the decisions you have made. But people don't think that. We blame society. We blame our friends. We blame our parents. We blame God. You know? Your children. I have children. I have 6 children. It's not easy. Parenting is so hard. Would you agree with that?
Yeah.
Parenting is not something very easy. It's very difficult, maybe easier for others, but you will receive out of your children what you put into them. The love and the care and the time you spent neglecting yourself and loving your kids is going to come forth. A lot of times our kids are messes because we have to think back. How was I as a parent? Was I there for them? Was I there for their needs? Was I there for their heart? Was I there for them by their side? Did they only hear negative? Did they only hear the worst things? I mean, what did they hear? Well, they should know better and all this stuff. Well, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And I think about that a lot. I know I need to start pouring more love, more mercy, more patience, and more discipline into my children with God. And pray that what we sowed into our kids come back something great. Amen? Isn't that true? What you put in, what goes around comes around. You are creating your life. You're causing and making things to happen in your life. So basically, we deserve everything we receive. But there's something we don't deserve, is heaven. The something we don't deserve is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Bible says that we are all sinners. For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The Bible says that the wages of our sin, of your sin, is death and hell.
Right.
You deserve that. What goes around comes around. You sinned against God. What do you receive in return? You're going to hell when you die. You live a life without God. You have God in your mind, but you don't have Jesus Christ and his love in your heart. And don't we deserve that? I mean, if we deserve receive the error of our ways, why do we not deserve hell? Each and every one of us are sinners in this room. And no one is better than anyone. And your one lie sends you straight to hell as an adulterer. And the adulterer goes straight to hell as a murderer. And evil thoughts and lack of mercy and lack of compassion and lack of loving God. I mean, we can't get away from it. We are all sinners. Isn't that true? But there's one thing that defies all the universal laws. There is one thing that the law of sowing and reaping doesn't apply. And it totally breaks the laws of nature. And it breaks the laws of the universe. And it even breaks the laws of sowing and reaping. What's that? Jesus Christ. Because he came and died on the cross for all of your sins. No, you don't deserve it. We deserve to be condemned. We deserve to die. We deserve to suffer. We deserve to be in jail. We deserve to be a wreck in a hospital bed or dying in the street. We deserve to be kicked out of our house and our kids running off. We deserve that. You can't say, I deserve. No. Did you know the Bible even says you need to ask God for forgiveness for your righteousness? Because some of you love your righteousness. The Bible says, I love the God of righteousness. I have no righteousness. He is my righteousness. But when you start focusing, I'm better than others and I'm more clean and more separated. Brother, sister, I can tell you one thing. You've missed it. The Bible says all of your righteousness are as filthy rags. Oh Lord, forgive me. Sometimes I got to ask for forgiveness of my prayers. Sometimes I have to repent of my prayers. My prayers are even sinful sometimes. You say, what do you mean? Well, you ever get down and your mind starts wandering off? Thinking about that bad things? Sometimes our repentance is selfish. Oh, we deserve nothing. The Bible says that no one is saved by their own righteousness. So the only thing that defies the law, the universal law of sowing and reaping, is heaven and forgiveness. Because there is no law in the Bible that, well, if I do good and obey, I'll make it to heaven. No. You could do all the good in the world and you will receive your reward here on earth. But when you die, judgment's coming. And there's hell. And I just want to thank the Lord Jesus Christ, because though I don't deserve, though I deserve hell, Jesus Christ died on the cross for all sins, all sinners. And it doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many mistakes you've made. It doesn't matter if you've made a mess of your life. It doesn't matter if years of bad decisions. Christ ended it on the cross and shed his blood. And if you're a sinner and you need forgiveness, we find forgiveness at the cross of Jesus Christ. And there's not a sinner that Jesus can't forgive. There's not a sin that Jesus can't clean. And not only that, let's say you've made bad decisions your whole life and you're reaping what you're sowing and you're struggling and there's problems in the home, problems in your finances and problems with your children, problems in life and your health. And maybe it is a cause of all your bad decisions, but did you know you can change your mind today?
Amen.
Do you know you can start making positive, good decisions? You can start today, start sowing mercy. You can start sowing faith. You can start sowing faithfulness. You can start sowing truth and love and forgiveness, and you'll start receiving the benefits in this life. But not only that, if you come to Jesus Christ as a sinner needing a Savior, He will forgive you of all of your sins, save your soul from hell, and when you die, you'll defy all logic because you deserve to go to heaven, but you'll go straight to, I'm sorry, you deserve to go to hell, but you go straight to heaven. Can we applaud for Jesus Christ? So someone here that's been suffering and suffered a lot. So someone here that suffers internally. So someone here a slave and in chains of sin. All chains are broken at the cross of Christ. And there's not a sin and there's not a life that Jesus can't wash clean in the blood of Christ. I want to invite someone today. Is there someone here that needs a new cycle? Is there someone here that needs to start sowing righteousness? Is there someone here that needs to start sowing positivity and Christ and love and mercy and faith? Is there someone here that has to cut the chains of sin and wickedness in their life and continually receiving the reaping of the sins that we've done? You don't have to do that anymore. Why suffer when Christ died on the cross and suffered for you Amen. To give you life and life more abundantly? Amen. But you have to come to Him as a sinner in need of a Savior. Christian, maybe you're saved. Maybe you're blood bought, washed in the blood of Christ, born again by the Spirit. You know when you're saved. But you're going through trials and there's hard times in your life and you're suffering. And maybe it's because you're not sowing love, and you're not sowing mercy, and you're not sowing grace, and you're not sowing faith. You reap what you sow. And a lot of times we use that verse, as preachers too, against people. If you sin, you reap what you sow. You get what you deserve. But there's also an opposite. If you sow goodness, you'll receive goodness. If you sow love, you'll receive love and blessings. Let's pray. Let's stand to our feet, please. God speak to you in something this morning? Is there someone here that needs to be washed in the blood of Jesus Christ? It doesn't matter what you've done. It doesn't matter how many sins you've done. If you come to Christ, He will forgive you. Is there someone here that needs forgiveness and a new life and a new start? Well, the new life begins in Jesus Christ. He died on the cross and shed His blood for you. Was buried and rose again for you because He loves you. Is there anyone here that could say, preacher, the message was for me. I need Christ. I need a new beginning. I'm a sinner, but I need salvation. I need to be forgiven. Raise your hand. I would like to pray for you. Is there anyone? Is there anyone here? Just slip your hand up and put it down. Is there anyone? Thank you, sir. Is there anyone else that could from their heart just say, I need Jesus Christ? I'm offering through Christ, forgiveness of sins. The saddest person in this world is someone that walks in this life with a bag full of sins that are not forgiven. Are you a sinner? The Bible says, because of your sins, you're going to hell. The reason is, God's so holy, He can't allow sin into heaven. But He loves you. God loves you so much, He wants to be with you. God wants to forgive you of all of your sins. How does He do that? Through His Son, Jesus Christ. The Lord Jesus Christ died on the cross for you, to save you from hell, to bring you to God, to give you a new life on earth. If you would like to receive the new life, if you would like to receive the forgiveness of sins through our Savior, Jesus Christ, don't be embarrassed. People here love you. We're rooting for you. If you raise your hand, why don't you come forward and let's pray and let's receive Christ as your Savior. Why don't you come? Why don't you come? Don't be scared. Just come on down. Come on. Come down. Jesus said, all that come to me, I will in no wise cast out.
don't you right now sow a seed of faith? Come to this old-fashioned altar and bow before the Lord, and why don't you ask him to forgive you of your doubt, of your lack of faith. We all have it. The Bible says, he that doubteth is damned. Why don't you right now step out, a step of faith, and plant some faith, that faith would grow back and be a blessing to you. You know who to come to, don't you? His name is Jesus. He's God of all creation. With every head bowed and every eye closed, why don't you move and why don't you come to this altar? Why don't you bow before the Lord and speak to him? Talk to him from your heart and plant that seed in his heart. Let him in his ear. Let him hear you. Let him hear you, what you want, what you desire. More than anything, plant by faith and know that you are giving him and Jesus alone your prayer right into his heart. And by faith, believe that you received it already. Let faith grow in you. Jesus said, if you had enough faith, you can move mountains. What do you need in your life? What is it you need? If any of those people that on Wednesday night have one of them silent prayer requests, this is the time to plant it by faith in the ear of God and speak to him from your heart and believe that he hears you and walk in faith and believe that what you ask for, you shall receive. Jesus said, ask, you shall receive. Seek, you shall find. Knock, and it shall be given unto you. As some at the altar are praying for the Holy Spirit of God, please pray. Pray for salvation to the souls. Pray for healing to hearts. Pray for others in this room. Pray, pray, and pray by faith and believe that God will do something. Believe that God will do something in their lives and also in your life and in your children's life. Pray by faith, seeking God, asking God to save your sons and your daughters, your mothers and your fathers, to help and strengthen you, give you wisdom, to help you to sow the seeds of righteousness, that righteousness would abound to you. Pray.